We've been doing a series, and I've got 9 CDs back there on the table of what we've been doing. We're going to call this, I guess, Getting in Line with God, and today we'll dovetail into that as well. I would like to call this one today More Than Conquerors, because we look at ourselves a lot of times as a little less than a conqueror. When you consider what is more than a conqueror, what comes to your mind? Well, a conqueror is one who wins a battle, right? Well, when a general will say, in the biblical times, when one of the generals of the army would go out and win the battle, they took the spoils of war. But who did they give the spoils to? The generals of the army gave the spoils to their king. Why? Well, because the king was greater than the general. And so, in other words, the spoils of war were given to the one who was more than a conqueror. The general conquered, but the general gave the spoils to he who was more than a conqueror. The Lord Jesus Christ was more than a conqueror, but yet he gave us the spoils of war. He says, "All power is given unto me." And what did he say? "Go ye therefore." Sounds to me like that makes us more than conquerors. I'd like to start this morning in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. It says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." That's a bunch. "But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made." Doesn't that sound a little bit like us? We owe a debt that we could in no way pay. There is no way that we could repay the Lord for all of our sins against him, all our trespasses. We owe a debt we can't pay. Verse 26, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Now, how many times do you hear, if you're deep in debt to the bank, deep in debt to credit card, that they call you up wanting their money and you say, "I have nothing to pay with," and they say, "Very well, we'll forgive you." It really doesn't happen very often, does it? It does happen, but it's rare, okay? But yet our God, to whom we owe a debt that we cannot pay, frankly forgave us that debt, wiped it off the books. And then he left us an instruction. "But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, a drop in the bucket, pocket change. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou which thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when this fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord of all that was done. And his Lord, after they had called him, said to them, Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise will my heavenly Father do you if you will not from your hearts forgive every one his brother their trespasses." You see, Jesus loosed us of a debt that we did not in any way deserve to be loosed of. And we're going to be more than conquerors in this life. We're going to have to do what Jesus did. He loosed us frankly, freely from our debts. Should not we follow the example of our Savior and freely forgive those who sin against us? You know, Peter, it says, well, how often should we get forgive? Unto 7 times? So 7 means complete. And Jesus said to him, I say not unto 7 times, but 70 times 7. So we're saying, okay, you sinned against me. That is time 61. I'm keeping track. Oh, you did it again. That's 62. And boy, when you get up to 490 of the 70 times 7, you're out of luck. There's no more forgiveness. What would happen if our Lord and our God was like that with us, if he kept track of our sins? And we'd be good to 490. And pow, it's off to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200. But yet so many times it's like that with us. We look at somebody trespasses against us, and when they finally do it one last time and we get a snootful, pow, it's off to hell with you, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Hey, that's not how you get to be more than a conqueror, okay? It doesn't work that way. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "To make all men see This is my job as a preacher. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God had a reason for telling Jesus that we have to forgive 70 times 7. There's wisdom in this. Jesus suffered wrongdoing against him that he didn't deserve. Did he deserve to be thrashed with stripes? Did he deserve to have pieces of his beard pulled out? Did he deserve get nailed on that cross? No, he did not. He took a debt for us that we could not pay. He was already the more than conqueror. But yet, what I've been preaching all week is God doesn't want to have all of that to himself. He wants to share it with his family. He wants to make us more than conquerors. The desire of his heart that we be like him, and not only like him, but with him, according to all the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, see, here's one of them things that's like the if. You know, the promises of God come with a condition. This one here says that he is able to do in us exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works within us. In other words, are we operating in power? If we're not operating in forgiveness, if we're not walking in love, we have no power. You know, Paul says, though I have all revelation and have not love, I'm as but a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. If I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. All the promises of God promise you nothing if they're not mixed with love, if they're not mixed with forgiveness, if they're not mixed with obedience to God. But if you mix all these things with the Word of God, with the faith of God, you become a more than conqueror through Him who loves you and went to the cross for you and paid your debt for you. No, I don't know of anyone that's more than a conqueror who's in debt. You know, you got all the spoils of war. You don't owe anybody. You have just conquered all. You see, God doesn't want us to be in debt to man. God wants us to be. God took us out of debt to Him. And all we should owe anybody is to love our fellow man. So are we going to love our fellow man by gossiping about him? Are we going to love our fellow man by taking vengeance if we're done a wrong? Christ Jesus took all this wrong and never struck back. We sang in the song this morning about he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have, but he didn't. Why? He bore it upon himself to make us more than conquerors. You more than conquerors. He did it for you. I said the other day, my wife asked me one time, she says, Jerry, do you think it's all about you? And the Holy Spirit told me the other day, yes, Jerry, it is all about you. It is all about you. He did this for you. He went to that cross for you. He forgave your sins for you. He didn't need it. He didn't have any sins forgive. He's got it made in the shade up in heaven. No, he did this for you. He wants you to join him. He wants you to be a more than conqueror. He did all this for you. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Praise God, he's talking to us this morning. Therefore, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to fall short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. That's you and me. As well as unto them. Who was them? The Jews. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So here we find the key of how to make the gospel a success. You got to mix it with faith. But like I said before, I'm building one thing on another here. With faith doesn't work without love. Faith also doesn't work when you have fear in your life. Right. You know, if you're a conqueror, you're fearless. God's people shouldn't have a bit of fear in them. We're bold as lions. You ought to be fearless enough to walk up and kick a lion in the butt. Not just bold as a lion, bolder than a lion. A lion comes up and you roars in his face, roar back. Make him turn around and run. But that all comes with walking in love. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see, God had a purpose for us, and it was done before we were ever even a gleam in our daddy's eye, so to speak. Before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain for our sins. They had not even been committed yet. Before Adam and Eve ever messed up, the Lamb of the world was slain for the sins that they were going to commit, because in God's wisdom, he knew man was going to mess up. We did. We think sometimes, well, I disappoint God. You never disappoint God. God already knows everything you're going to do. And yet he loves you anyway. And he's already preparing a place for you in heaven. And he's already preparing you to be a conqueror. Even if you're not acting like a conqueror, thinking like a conqueror, he's already preparing you to wear the robe of the conqueror, the more than the conqueror. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing that there remaineth, some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered in not because of unbelief. You see, some of us are destined to enter in. Who? The ones who believe. Believers. What is the definition of then of a believer? Well, someone that is fully convinced of. You know, you get up in the morning and say, I believe I'll have breakfast. You're fully convinced you're hungry, right? You're fully convinced your belly's empty. Well, we can be fully convinced that we're more than conquerors. I had this little thought come to me as the pastor was singing the song this morning, you know, about how a little girl might hold a flower up and says, he loves me. Picks another petal off. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. We go through our whole stinking life like that. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. How are you ever going to be more than a conqueror when you don't know that God loves you? Now, if God didn't love you, he surely would not have sent Jesus Christ to pay for your debt. He could have just stayed up there in heaven, riding around in his chariot, watching his big screen TV that shows him the whole universe. No, he came down here to deliver us. Right. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his own works as God did his. In other words, you can settle it in your heart right now. You should already have these things settled in your heart. You shouldn't even be laboring anymore to enter into that rest. You should already be in that rest. Each and every one of you have got enough word into you right now that you ought to already be in rest. For he that has entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works. God did his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. I put the word fail in there after fall, because if you fall, you're failing. Let us, therefore, labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall short of entering in, any man fail to enter in. But want us to fail. Conquerors and more than conquerors are not failures. We're bred for success. You know, you see Kentucky racehorses, they're bred to win races. They're not bred to go walking down the trail with you on a Sunday afternoon. They are bred that when that gate opens, they're gone. Their eye is on the finish line, and their eye upon there to that finish line before any of the other horses. It would be our mentality that we've already won. We think, well, by the grace of God, I'm going to win. By the grace of God, I'm working to win. God already sees us as winners. God already sees us as more than conquerors. We're trying to get a place where God already sees that. We're trying to get something we already got. We're trying to put the identity of when we're already there. Chapter 2. No. Verse 1. And you have to be quick, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hey, folks, that's all of us. B.C., before Christ, we all lived in this world, thought like the world, acted like the world, talked like the world. We were all stinkers in God's sight. Among whom we also all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the children of wrath, in other words, were headed straight to hell, do not pass go to like 200 years. That's our part, B.C., before Christ. Not actually that came and did anything right then. It was already settled before the foundation of the world. But we just didn't know it yet. We had not had the word of faith preached to us, or it couldn't work in that. But you're being that God who is rich for his great love wherewith he loved us, that is the cornerstone of all scriptures. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love We can mess it up. He left while we were yet dead. His purpose in us will be fulfilled. God gave a sacrifice that man can't mess up. So we can say, I'll take my lamb, I'll take my goat, and I'll sacrifice it. And if that goat has got a bad prick on it, or if the sheep has a bite on it again, it's going to be a perfect sacrifice. Wow. And so we're not going to have perfect forgiveness from it. But God takes all out of our hands. We don't deal with a thing. We keep saying, if this I can just work out my salvation, I can just, I, there's no about it. You see, God calls you. God gives you the measure of faith. Measure of faith, by the way. Not our measure of faith. His measure of faith is failure proof. God provided the sacrifice so we can mess it up. Everything had to be done by God because there's a perfect one among us that we can do anything on our own and get it done perfectly. So, you see, God took this out of our hands and made it failure proof. So we could indeed be more than conquerors. We thinking, oh, if I can just get this, no, already got it right, because God got it right for you.
Yes.
Failure proof. Praise God. We can't mess up. And it says in verse 6, and half, H-A-T-H, that means past tense. We think, oh, he's going to raise us up if we do good enough. No, it says he has raised us up. It's already done in his eye. And made us sit together. Places in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say he made us sit together in heavenly places by our own works. Forget it, man. Our own works ain't going to get us any place but straight to jail, not collect $200. It's like, you know, have you ever thought about what you're going to be doing in heaven? I think I'd be sitting on a cloud playing some stupid. I don't even care for harps. You know, I might not be so bad if they gave me a guitar. I could sit on a cloud and play guitar for a while, but harp, forget it. But you know, that's not what we're going to spend eternity doing. It says, verse 7, that ages to come, he, who's he, God, might show the exceeding riches. Oh, God, I love this. That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is going to spend all eternity loving on us. All eternity. Yes, it's all about you. It says so right here. It is all about you. He's going to spend all eternity loving on you, showing his kindness toward you through Christ Jesus. Well, I think we're going to be doing some of that back to him. I think we're going to be worshiping him. And you know something? It ain't going to be like, oh, Lord, I worship you. No, when we see how much he has given us, we're going to fall on our face and say, oh, my God, how I have missed it. Now I see what you've done for me. And the worship is just going to be, it's going to come from your heart, and it's going to be beyond anything you've ever done in church. I promise you. Praise God. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Like Pastor said, how many of you have ever had to pay for a gift? Oh, but we keep thinking we got to pay for this gift. We think that we have got to do something. And God just says, hey, it's a gift.
Yeah.
Oh, but I want to pay for it. Can't. I'm giving it to you. I don't want you to give it to me. I want to buy it. No, you can't buy it. It's free. But God, shut up, boy. Sit down. Enjoy your gift. Oh, man. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We keep wanting to say, oh, look what I did. I am so holy. I go to church every Sunday. Man, I mean, I iron my shirt just right. You know, I give. Oh, I give. Look at what I give. The tithing records are up on the wall. See, I've got 5 gold stars next to mine. Look at me! Oh, look at you. You can't do anything if God doesn't give you what you have. You won't draw your next breath. If he says, breathe no more, guess what? You go, bah. You won't breathe again. You don't have anything unless he gives it to you. You say, oh, but I work. I come up with all these ideas. Hey, who put that brain in your head? Who gave you the ideas? Oh, but I work with my hand. Hey, forget it. Who gave you your hands? You know, see, we can't take credit for anything. It's all about him. He gave us everything we are. Now, verse 10, I want you to get this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That word workmanship, does everybody's Bible here say workmanship? In the Greek, it says masterpiece. Masterpiece. You know, like the Mona Lisa. You know why she smiles? Because she's a masterpiece. She knows it. You are God's masterpiece. his finest piece of work. That's what a masterpiece is. You paint a few little, like, stick people, you know, with look like a little lollipop with a stick. That's how you paint your people at first when you're a first grader. But as an artist starts developing their talent, and pretty soon they start drawing some real good-looking people. Well, you are God's masterpiece. You know, he had to practice a little first. He created man first, and then he created woman. So he had to practice a little. I guess the women think he got it right then. Well, praise God, I tend to agree. I believe God got it right when he made Jenny. And she said I could say so. Praise God. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Now, I'm going to totally change the subject here, or so you think, but I'm not really changing the subject. I'm going to read a little bit here about the Lord's Supper. Verse 22, Mark 14, 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to me and says, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank it. We're part of that all. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say to you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. We take communion for one reason and one reason only, to be partakers of Christ. We take the bread and the wine to show God that we see, that we are aware, that we are partakers with Him. We take communion to become one with Him. We're already one with Him because He has declared our sins null and void and has made us holy unto Him. But we take the bread and the wine to remind ourselves what God has been telling us in these verses here. His body was broken for our healing. His blood was shed for our remission of sins. And as often as we do this, we are reminded that we are in Christ, that we are more than conquerors, that we are fail-proof. Conquerors don't fail. More than conquerors are the ones that the conqueror gives the gifts to. You see, you don't have to go out and be a conqueror because you're a more than a conqueror. The conqueror goes to war. The more than conqueror is he who sits on the throne and waits for the goods to come to him. And he has said that we are more than conquerors. I would be satisfied to be a conqueror. But God says, no. He says, you don't have to fight the battle. I already fought it. I'm bringing you the spoils. Have you ever thought about yourself as being more than a conqueror? We think, well, I'm just trying to fight this battle. I forget trying to fight a battle. Take your place as a more than a conqueror. You will never walk in confidence and the boldness as long as you're trying to fight a battle that's already been won. The devil is always trying to draw you in to fight a battle, and the dust is already settled. He's already defeated and has been defeated. The devil takes each and every one of you every day and tries to get you to conquer him. You don't have to conquer the devil. He's already a loser. Been a loser. He's been a loser since the day that in Isaiah 14 it talks about. He says, I will exalt my throne above heaven. He's been a loser since that day. However millions years ago that's been, I don't know it. The Bible doesn't say when it happened. But from that day, he went from being Lucifer to loser. Lucifer to loser. Angel of light, he went from being the cherub that was above the throne of God, leading the praise and worship in heaven, to being a loser. In one day, 1 second, from that very minute, Satan started working on mankind when he was cast down to this earth to make them losers like he is. God's idea was never for you to be a loser. That's why Christ Jesus had to come and forgive your sins, to get you back in the place where he put you in the first place. God made you a more than conqueror in the first place. God created you to be a more than a conqueror in the first place. Oh, it's a long road getting back to where God wants us sometimes, isn't it? Because we just fail to believe. We want to live in this old thing of trying to do things by our own works. Oh, I'll work my way back to where God wants me to be. I'll study hard. I'll pray hard. I'll witness. I'll do all the I'll do. Hey, I heard all that in Isaiah 14. I will do this. I will do that. And God told Satan, you shall be cast down to the sides of the pit and to hell. You say it's not about I will do this, I will do this, I will do that. No. Jesus did it for us. It's a gift. Take it. Praise God. Mm-mm. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. I think that'd be a real good place to go. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. This is how God sees you. This is how God sees me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We keep trying to work our way somehow to a place where God will accept us, to love us. And He's already finished all that years ago and trying to get us to take our place in the family. You've not received the spirit of bondage to fear. It says, perfect love casteth out fear, right? You've all heard that. Whose perfect love? Your perfect love toward God casts out all fear? No. His perfect love toward you casts out fear. We can have perfect confidence in God because His love can't fail. His provision can't fail. He is making our way fail-proof because He's removing us from doing it. He already did it for us. Mm-mm. And it's that the Spirit itself beareth witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. Not we will be, not we was and fell from grace, and not we want to be. We are. We are. We are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Oh, what's it mean, heirs? Well, it means like when mom and daddy dies, you get the farm. Okay? Jesus was the only one who's ever wrote a will, died, and then came back to be the executor of that will to make sure that his children got what he left them. The only ones ever done that. And joint heirs with Christ. Now, joint heirs means, it's a legal term, it means share and share alike. Like, we've got five brothers in a family, and the will says they share and share alike. That means everybody gets an equal share. It says in here that everything that belongs to God belongs to Jesus, and if we're joint heirs, that means everything that belongs to Him, we get equal share with it. If so, that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Well, let me go over here in about verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, Kenneth Hagin used to say, well, if God be for you, who cares who's against you? I like that. I like that. I like that. If you be the baddest dude on the block, who cares who comes against you? And you're the baddest dude on the block because the strongest thing that can possibly come against you as a child of God is Satan himself. There's ranks in the devils, powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spirits of wickedness in high places. Then there's Satan himself. The highest ranking devil there is a fly on the wall to a child of God. I mean, what can he do to you? You're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. He's a fly. It's like you're in a Sherman tank and he's sat there with all his might shooting these spitballs. Why can he hurt you? You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That means you don't have to sit here and get up in the morning and worry about if you're going to be able to pull it off that day. No. The dust is already settled. You've already won. Before you ever get up in the morning, you're already more than a conqueror. You're already the winner. The devil says, well, we're going to do battle today. Well, devil, if you want to do battle, go ahead, but I've already won. I ain't going to even get my hands dirty. You can fight yourself silly. I'm already the winner. Have you ever looked at it like that? Have you ever considered that no matter what the devil throws at you, you're already the winner? You don't even have to get involved in the battle. Why? There ain't no battle. He's defeated. He just ain't got it yet. Praise God. I got it, though. I know who I am. I ain't going to do battle with Satan ever again. Man, I used to get sucked into battles all the time. Come away scratched up and beat up and bruised and black and blue and purple and defeated and worried and discouraged. And I think, no, I ain't ever got to do that again, man. The battle was never mine in the first place. Why did I let myself try to fight a battle that wasn't mine? It'd be like me going over here and trying to fight this battle going on in the Middle East. It ain't my battle. Never has been. Never will be. Not my battle. I stay out of there. I don't have to try to win something. God's already declared I'm the winner. Praise God. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Oh man, I'll tell you what, I'm getting some revelation on that verse. God's not laying any blame of sin on me. God's not making me conscious of sin. I have no sin because Christ Jesus took it all away. Am I trying to get rid of something? No, it's already done. Why am I laboring to try to get right with God when He already took all my sin away and says I'm right? Why am I laboring to become a child of King when He already said I'm a child of King? Why are we trying to convince God to do something He already said yes to? It'd be like going to your mommy and saying, Mommy, can I have a cookie? She hands you the whole cookie jar. Mommy, can I have a cookie? There's your cookie jar. Mommy, can I have a cookie? You know, you'd finally get tired of hearing that all the time, wouldn't you? Hey, son, the cookie jar's in your hand. The lid's off. It's full of cookies. Have some cookies. Have all the cookies.
Yes.
Mom. Then, Mom, can I have a cookie? Oh, man. I can imagine what I'd be like if I come to my little sweet honey and I say every day, I say, Jenny, will you marry me? Well, honey, I've already married you. Well, will you marry me anyway? I'm already married to you. Honey, please marry me. We're already married. But will you marry me? Come on now. We do this to God every day, don't we? We act like that. We're trying to get someplace God already put us in. And we spend all our energies trying to get someplace that God's already put us. Instead of going out and telling other people that they can be a child of God, we spend all our time trying to become a child of God. And we're already a child of God. Come on, people. There's a whole world of people out here that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And guess what? We got the good news. Are we going to do anything with it? Well, I got to find out if I'm saved first. Oh, get over it, people. Let's go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power. How much is all power? That's all of it. That's the total amount of. That means there's nothing left out. That means there's not any lacking. That means there's not any more to be had. The total amount of power. All power. And that word, by the way, is the Greek word exousia, which means the command executive power that absolutely prohibits the presence of a hindrance. He says, all power is given to me. And by the way, Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power, exousia. So he's got it. We got it. If he's more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors. Share and share alike. It's as plain as the nose on my face. And believe me, my nose is pretty plain. See? I see it right there. So verse 19, it says, go ye therefore. Go ye why? Go ye and tell other people. They don't have to be bums and beggars under the table looking for some crumbs. They can be more than conquerors too. Come on, people. Don't be greedy. There's room for more in the throne. God has room for lots of more than conquerors. He's not saying, well, I'll let six in. No, he'll let all that'll come. He says, all that'll come. All that will be more than conquerors. Come. Come on down. He told us we can all be more than conquerors. And it's not only that we can be more than conquerors, it's his will that we are all more than conquerors. So we've got a job. We have to go. I ask people, I said, what part of go ye don't you understand? Is it the go or ye? They're both two little words, two letter words. So if you don't understand go, I can teach you that. And if you don't understand you, I can teach you that. Because my education is so great that I can understand those two words. And I can surely impart how to go you. I'll take this right foot right here and I'll plant it right in the seat of your pants. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them. Oh, listen to this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus Christ is the baptizer. That word baptize is baptizo. Now, there are two words we use as baptize. When we think of baptizing somebody, we dunk them in the water. That's the word bapto. And it's like a making pickles, okay? You take a cucumber and you bapto, you dip it in boiling water. And then you take it out of the boiling water and you put it in the pickling solution. You baptizo it in the pickling solution and leave it there until it is saturated all the way through. No matter where you break that cucumber, it's a pickle. It's pickled all the way through. That's baptizo. We are to baptizo people. Well, why? Because, see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is upon us. And when we lay hands on people, we are transmitting that baptizo to others. We got a job to do. We are to expand the kingdom of God. I've had people say, well, the angels are the reapers. Well, listen, in my Greek dictionary, the word angel, angelos, means messenger. Are we messengers? Then we're the reapers. We're the ones supposed to be out giving the message of the good news of the gospel to those who are lost. We are the ones laying hands on them that they may receive the Holy Ghost, be saved. We are the ones that are supposed to be preaching the good news. That's what the go ye is. Why? Well, because we don't have any more battles to win. We're already more than conquerors. So now we can put our energies toward expanding the kingdom of God. Praise God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're more than conquerors. Quit trying to beg God to make you something. He's already said you are. Start doing the work of a more than conqueror. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.